بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last time we discussed etiquettes pertaining to pregnancy, post-delivery and breastfeeding. The next chapter we have etiquettes of attending the deceased person's home and ta'ziyat. We call it ta'ziyat, consoling family members of the deceased. But these are very important also. The whole social structure in Deen Islam is based upon kisi ko takleef na dena, not to cause takleef, harm to anybody. And this is the crux, as the Tani rahimahullah used to say, that the crux of tasawwuf, tazkiyah, islah, reforming yourself, reformation of character, etc. I would say the crux of your entire existence is that your life in this world becomes a means of comfort for others. And you don't become a means of takleef, don't become a thorn for other people around you. No one should be crying because of you. No one should be hurting because of you. Whether it be by speech you hurt somebody, physically you harm somebody. He says, if you understand this, in every second of your life, your eyes is upon yourself. I mustn't cause harm to anybody. I will take harm, takleef from everybody, no problem. I can make sabr. I can make sabr. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, be patient, be patient, be patient. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was an embodiment of patience. From the age of 40, thereafter, only sabr in his life. Only sabr in his life. And he caused harm to no single human being to the extent historians, mu'arrikhin, they were recorded that not a single person was killed in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Although he was in the battlefield, yet there was one mushrik who Nabi alayhi salam told him that you will die on my hands. But he didn't kill him directly, he was injured on the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And sometime later he died because of that injury, of that wound. But rahmatul lil alameen, was a rahmat, not to the Muslims only, to the entire universe. But his existence, the entire universe enjoyed the rahmat and barakat of Allah. Meaning the trees, the animals, the ground also. Because wherever he walked, even the ground enjoyed him walking upon the ground. The ground also has life. So everything enjoyed the rahmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So not a single person in his lifetime was harmed, directly, indirectly, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So my existence also, right now as I am saying also, and we are listening, we should think, in my life right now, presently, is there anyone that is in takleef, in some difficulty because of me? So at least start taking notes, start taking hisab kitab. Is there anyone that because of me they are going through some takleef, whether it be physical, whether it be mentally, right? And very commonly nowadays we become so used to playing mental games, whether it be with the wife, with the children, with friends, family, you play these games, you don't mean it but you said it, you see what their reaction is, and we leave it like that, and see how the person is suffering silently. Then it comes out after some time, but you know, you said that, I was joking only. I was only joking, I didn't mean it. But the takleef that person went through, so even these mental games that we play with people also, that to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so particular, cause rahat and comfort to every person that comes in contact with me. And this is so important, so this is something we have to learn. Because people are sensitive, even you meet somebody now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meeting people also, he was so particular meeting people also, that he doesn't cause them takleef, that give them some gap to think that I went to meet him, but the way he met me, did something happen? So when he would meet people also, that riwayat hadith sharif says that he would meet them completely, meaning give them a full gaze, full glance, turn his entire body towards them, make salam with them, give them a smile. He would never look at anyone from the side of his eye. Like look at somebody, the person will see you looking at him, he might think like, what happened? Did I do something to him? Give you a straight, a complete look, welcome, and he will shake the person's hand. He will never let go of the hand until that person let go. But sometimes you shake the person's hand half and you give him a side look. And I think, what happened? Did I do something? Do I owe him money? And sometimes we tell that person also, comments like that. Alright? We meet somebody also, just now playing games. But you're avoiding me. I owe you some money or something. Do you have to tell him something like that? But for us it's just in jest. And we don't know what he's going through. And now, as it is, he was halfway down, and he put the nail in the coffin. See, now my best friend also. And person came late for Asar Namaz, happens now. And you coming out, you did all your nawafil and your Quran, tilawat, alhamdulillah. And you made your dua, you're feeling elated. And now you're leaving the masjid on your high, mashallah, maqam and status. And this person is coming in now. He missed his Zuhar Namaz. So you make salah with him. Hey, but you're early for Asar. Did you have a salah then? But you're early for Asar. Now I think now, as it is after so long coming to the masjid, and now he has to tell me something like this. At least I can read my Zuhar. So just these statements we make in between, we don't know how we're hurting people. I mean, my thing now, you know, I'm a smart, what you say, a smart guy, you know, a very witty. Witty in Sharia we call firasat. Firasat is a person who has foresight. Now, our wittiness means now that we can make all these little statements and, you know, catch people's speech and turn it into something funny. Where Sharia says, have firasat, ittaqo firasat al-mu'min. That fear the deep insight and foresight of a believer, فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because when he looks at the nur of Allah. And to get this firasat, to get this inner firasat, right, unlike nowadays, to get that wittiness, people, they read all these, what do you call it? Memes or something. Huh? Memes, what do you call it? Right, and they pick up all these things over here now, and they become smart people. Well, in Sharia, to get that firasat, to a person, alhamdulillah, whenever he looks at the nur of Allah. He looks at the taqwa of that person, look at his status, how to address him, how to talk to him. Alright? Even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was such an individual that even a slave, wanted to address Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the slave was able to hold his hand and take him outside and make him sit on the street corner also. And listen to my story, I need to tell you something. Now whether the local guard in my masjid can do that to me. Whereas he's afraid to talk. He was so down to earth that no one had any taklif or any problem due to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So coming back to this chapter, the etiquette of attending the deceased person's home and ta'ziyat, consoling family members of the deceased. Number one, women should not go to the house of the deceased. Women should not go to the house of the deceased unless they are close family members. This is at the time of the janazah. When the person has passed away, now they're going to make ta'zi, they're going to console the wife or the children. If they're not direct family, now's not the time to go. Give the direct family space. Now you know, gap in. Sharia has given you 3 days. You can go tomorrow. Go the day thereafter. Alright? So they've got now family coming in, close family, distant family. Yes, if you are such a close associate to that woman, then she will be looking for you. And she'll get comfort because of you. Most of the time, we go in there for our own comfort. But we went, we feeling good, we met them. So at least they know that we came to see them. Whether she will remember or not, how many people we meet in the masjid, when we lose a family member, the people are hugging us, you can't even remember whether the person met me or didn't meet me. Doesn't register, because we're so busy on that day. They should rather recite some Quran Sharif and convey the rewards to the deceased. That's the real thing. That the person that's left the world now, that person is absolutely muhtaj, in need, right now for your Quran tilawat. So all the time to go and then to come back, is rather in that time the ladies at your house sit and read Quran Sharif. Take out 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. You're going to go there, you're going to spend 2 hours. So sit at home half an hour and read now for the deceased. Later on, they can go to the house to console the bereaved. And here we know, when we go to the house, we take the ladies to the house of the janazah. Alright? Just for them now to step out of the car. All the men are standing there. They block the whole front gate. And now she has to make a plan of getting through. Whether she's dressed according to Sharia, whether she's moving right now with the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is questionable. Alright? And we don't regard it anymore as a major sin when the hijab niqab is not on. It's a major sin. If the lady's face is open, it's a major sin. Quran Sharif is explicit. And many brothers are going to TikTok and Facebook and they listen to bayans of Salafi ulama. Salafi ulama or modernist ulama, that now they've come with this term hijabi, niqabi is 2 different things. Hijab, niqab is the same thing. Hijab, they say, she's wearing headgear, scarf. Niqab, she's got her face covered. Sharia is only one thing. Yudnina alihinna min jalabi bihin. This is the Quran from the second para. It's clear. Ya ayyuhan nabiyu, your own Nabi of Allah. Ya nisa an nabi. Allah is addressing the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the entire ummah that say to the women, yudnina alihinna min jalabi bihin. The word jilbab we know. So this word comes in the Quran Sharif, jilbab. But it comes in the plural form, jalabi bihin. Tell them, yudnina, that they should dawn upon themselves their jalabi bihin, the jilbabs. So the word yudnina also shows you how it should be donned. That it should be donned from the top coming down. And Mufassirin explaining this one, tabi'i also, a tabi'i is the one that met Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when his students asked him, what does this ayat mean? What is a jilbab? So he took a piece of cloth. He took one piece of cloth and he covered his entire self completely and left one eye open. Left one eye open. This is the demand of Quran Sharif. This is how a woman should move and absolutely baggy, big. Because the original parda for the woman is the four walls of the house. Now when she leaves the house, she can leave the house for only one of two reasons. She can leave the house for a shari'i taqaza, for a sharia need. She has to go for talim, she has to educate herself, the jeet she has to go to, she can't get somebody to come home. So she got a dini, need now to leave home, so she's qualified to leave. And ulama prefer that she leaves with a mahram. She leaves with a mahram. The male driver, is that her mahram? He's a ghair mahram. To put her in the car with the male driver is also haram, absolutely haram. The husband should feel that how can she sit with a strange man in the same car? Right? And you might say, no, he's an old man. Old man is still looking everywhere. Hazrat says the old Baji is sitting in the hospital bed in ICU. ICU, but he's telling the nurse, you see me, ICU. You see, he's as cold as a deep freezer. He's as cold as a deep freezer, but the eyes aren't cold. He's still looking. Say, Baji, read Kalima, read Durush. I'm reading. I'm making istighfar also. I'm making istighfar, but you can't look at the nurses. He still wants to shut them up, be sweet to them. Dolly, baby, please do this for me, do that for me. Although he's old, but then through the treatment of the eye, is still there. He can't do anything, but he's still enjoying all the sweetness of the woman around him. So no man can say, I don't feel anything. There's something is not right with you. So definitely, whether the driver is an old man, then too, he's still a human, he's still a man. He's still a man, so we have to be very, very careful. So we can't just overlook these things over here. These things are bringing the bad air in the house. It's bringing the bad air in the house. When we enter the house, we say, she's always moody. For something you're doing, something she's doing. Then we've got now the workers in the house, ghair mahram, men working in the house. Absolutely impermissible. Now you might think, nothing about it. But he's got feelings also. How many years he hasn't been home to his country? How many years he hasn't been home to his country? He's also a man. He also has feelings. So, but we don't think anything about it. So these things are absolutely impermissible. We become now desensitized in regards to these masail. It's become like a norm right now. Become like a norm. And the ladies at home also know we want, and they say also that you want a certain boy wanting to work in the house because they clean very nicely. And Hazrat says, Allah will not ask you in the qabr whether your house was clean. Allah will ask whether your heart was clean. But we're so concerned about cleaning the house. The house has to be clean. Pots and pans, this. Only he knows how to clean it. But in the whole process, my heart is becoming dirty. And you're going to be questioned about this, especially the men. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was particular, don't become a day youth. Don't become a cuckold. That you don't care who enters upon your wife. You don't care who enters upon your wife. So we destroy the sharam and haya. And sharam and haya and modesty is half of iman. Shatrul Iman is a branch of Iman. It's a branch of Iman to her modesty and haya. One is now my wife, what about my daughters? And I got daughter-in-law in the house also. So all this time affecting the marriages, without understanding. Now, where we should be, as I say, look at the Western system now. SubhanAllah. Our Shaykh had discussed all these things. Western system, they have problems in how they sort it out and how we should be sorting it out. We have a complete Sharia justice system. We have the whole penal law, right? With this crime in the country, how to cut it from the root. Kuffar don't cut off the vices from the root. Or they put ointment. They put ointment only. Right? How to cut it from the root. And nowadays we're so overawed by these systems. We are overawed, absolutely. So they have all these departments. A simple thing Hazrat discusses when it comes to crime in our country. Now look at their system. Right? Their system is now, if somebody has to be murdered, calling the police, cordon off the area, calling the investigators. Investigators will come in. Then you got the forensics. And then you got this department. And we become so overawed. Hey, what technology they have. And what intelligence they have. They have also the words they used to. Intelligence. They got intelligentsia, whatever you may call it now. They've got that. They've got the underworld. And then they've got forensics. They're coming with their fancy brushes and all, taking fingerprints and everything. And all of that, be overawed. And how they'll pick up this one, what follic? Hair. Right? One follic of the hair. And how they now, the DNA, they link it up so and so. We said, Subhanallah. These guys are really jacked up. Look at the systems they have. But the reality is, we lost the man. We're supposed to prevent the crime. Not after he's dead, look for the murderer. But we, our mind goes that way. Sharia system is, don't lose the man. Their system is, let the man die, and now we bring in a whole team. Now they're looking for the shell of the gun, the shell of the bullet. Now when you link up where the bullet came, what caliber it was, where he shot from, which angle, all of that, aftermath. But we lost the person already. But we take in the system that they're so intelligent, from which angle he shot, how he shot, what caliber bullet it was, what kind of a gun it was, etc. And finally, after they catch the murderer, what they say? They're mentally deranged. No case. Send him where? Psychiatrist. So they got a setup also. So, we know what happens? That more than often now, if it's one of their guys, he was mentally deranged. If it was a Muslim guy, terrorist. That's how they? That's how they put it to the people out there. And we accept it. The Sharia is prevented completely from the beginning. Completely from the beginning. That no one should lose their life in a Muslim society. Alhamdulillah, we go to, so to say, the Muslim lands. Alhamdulillah, certain extent, there's still safety there. You can see, 2 o'clock in the morning, you can walk safely, no problem. Alright, Hajj Firik also. Now also, before when we went, alright, I remember the year we went, for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala accept all of us to go over again, inshallah. That there was a new building they put up, Ibrahim Khalil Street. New building they put up, just Hajj season. And the owner of the building, there was no time now to put the front glass for the shop. Because Hajj is already came in. Hajj is came in, and Ibrahim Khalil Street is the most busiest street. Right? That's the heaviest traffic for Hajj. So we used to walk down that street to go to our hotel. So when you passed in Namaz time, I noticed this person was loading his shop already. He must have just got the keys. Well, there was no keys actually, because there was no front glass and no door also. Just open shop. And he had his goods packed in there for Hajj season. Packed from the bottom, from the floor, right to the ceiling. Had new lighting, absolutely bright in there. Had shoes and he had clothing and everything else. So when we passed by, early part of the morning again, he was closing shop. How he was closing shop? He took one big bed sheet, tied it in the corner there, tied it there, at the bottom. He tucked it under the pair of shoes, and he was gone home. Subhanallah, look at this. It's been on his own home. The shop. There's no front door, no front window, nothing whatsoever. They put one sheet over there and the man is gone home. Allah Ta'ala shows this a small sample of what Madina Munawwara was in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just implement just one thing of Sharia. There's so much of sukun. So when it comes to Islamic system, from the root already Allah Ta'ala has protected us, protected our sharam, our haya, our modesty, our ladies, our marriages, our nikahs. Everything Allah Ta'ala has protected. Now we slipped out of the system. We slipped out of the system, so all this bad air is coming through the house. Our young daughters also, they're getting affected, but we're not realizing it. Because we are so busy in our dunya. We're not realizing the effect on them. Right? Now, to understand how it affected them, when they do get married, and now there's a problem in the marriage. Now, what the cause was, but we say they got affected mentally, we're not realizing that that boy is working in the house, the driver is not a Muslim, the effect is there. The bad air is there. We can't feel it because our thermometers are broken. Our gauges are broken. So we don't feel anything. We went to school. We sat next to the girl in class. That's how we went co-education before. Right? And so we already got damage. Damage was there also. Allah Fazl and Karam, we made a bit of tawbah, alhamdulillah. And Allah Ta'ala forgave us and we moved on. But now the level of vices that's happening within the homes, we don't care, we don't worry about it. Now, how the children got damaged psychologically, we don't understand. Spiritually, yes, definitely they affected. Spiritually, they are already affected. Psychologically, now, when it comes to repairing that marriage, the first thing where we send our couples? Psychologist. Now, psychologist and marriage, what happened? So the damage wasn't now. It already started then. Now we're doing damage control. That's what they gave us. They gave us damage control. They now do damage control. Do damage control. When the damage took place, in a Shari'i society, in a Shari'i home, this wouldn't have happened. So Allah Ta'ala has a... Now what happens, my dear brothers, is when we mention these things, already we feel a bit of cringe. How are we going to change this? How? Then the leaders also feel, but this is... You see, it's too heavy. It's too heavy. We feel like burdensome. It's heavy. But we have to understand, that's why we are saying every day, apply our mind. Why are these rules, regulations and system in place? Why Allah Ta'ala did this? Now what happens? Very easy to say, this Mawlana is very heavy. This Mufti Sahib Masail are too heavy. Alright? So we always say, it's not our Masail, we're only the messenger boy. Don't shoot the messenger. We're just relating and narrating what's in the Quran Sharif, what's in the Ahadith. This is what is there. Our responsibility is to pass it on. Pass it on, the rest of us have to comprehend, understand, and more than that, to understand that these rules, regulations are there because may Allah loves me, He wants the best for me. He wants the best for me. Now we'll understand when we have a little child. He's not well. His nose is leaking. But he wants a kala pani. He wants a black water. See, but he has clean water. He says, no, I want the black one. Usually black we know is dirty. But he says, see, here's a clean water. You can see through it. Or something in there, kala pani. Usme kuch kala pan hai. There's something not right in the black water. That's why he's attracted to it. But we tell him, you can't drink it. To him now, you're the enemy. Why you don't need to drink it? Or there's some milkshake over there. Or some ice cream is late night. He wants to eat it. He wants to have it. And you, the parents say, but you can't have it. But Papa, you're drinking it. You're drinking it. And what do you say? No, for me it's dawa. It's my dawa, this is my medication. So, for his own good, you're telling him that you can't have it right now. Allah is saying you can't do it for your own good. Now, to him, you're the enemy. We are doing the same thing to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah says, it's not right. You can't do it. But now, deen becomes my enemy. Now, what's all this about? Our life is carrying on smooth. It's not carrying on smooth. Allah Ta'ala gives the respite. Gives the respite. And then we see the outcome of these activities later on. That's why we are sharing with the brothers all these things. There's a design of our homes also. The design of our bathrooms. You're not understanding the amount of damage you're doing. Just taking in this Western culture within our homes completely. And when it comes to our toilets, the original, you know, toilet is low pan toilet. That's the original. There's a high pan toilet. That was the Queen of France. She couldn't squat, so she called in the engineers where it was. Now they made one toilet for her to sit like it. So we took it to be, this is now royal way of going to the toilet, sitting on a high pan. Alright? But original sunnah is sunnah. Now we took that out. Understand the effects of that. We took out the original sunnah. Where you heard of your grandmother, or great grandmother, that delivered almost a dozen children, ever had to go for yoga or stretching lessons, then now she's giving birth. So now she's going to go get somebody to loosen her muscles now and train up for childbirth. We never heard. They were doing work at home, they were going low pan toilets. So all the muscles were loose. So when it came to childbirth, it was enough to have it at home, no problem. And that to every year or every second year, having a child. Right? Now it has become such a big thing now. Now every, how many years? 4 or 5 years. We've got to space out the children, space them out. Why? So she can keep her mental state in order. What's so difficult? Because of all the extra things they brought in, and we as husbands too want to give them more comfort, we're giving them comfort, but then they're not comfortable. And before, life was simple, and all the children had 1.5 years, 2 years, and no need to go for any type of exercises, no personal, private gym, nothing whatever, trainer, and they were delivering children. And at home also. So we just took out the toilet only, low pan toilets, and now we saw the effect. Now we saw the effect. The young girl now has the first baby, now she can't walk properly, and she can't sleep properly, then she needs a personal trainer, somebody to give her a massage, the back is paining. How the old ladies did it? Where is connected? Just because they had the one exercise every morning. Going in low pan toilet, now you need the energy, you need the strength to get up from there also. Then you're going 2-3 times a day, 5 times a day, there was enough exercise for them. And you know now when you're going also, you're sitting there, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. So there's an effect on yourself. So that we took it out. We put in the high pan. From there now came so many other things. Now what happened was, we took out the low pan toilets, we put the high pan toilet, and that is costing us so much now. First of all, to put the toilet cost us. And now the cost of all the yoga, which is not permissible, right? It's a Hindu thing. It's a Buddhist thing. So that, then all the exercises, the personal trainer, etc. We took out toilet, we had to pay for all those things over here. If you put the low pan toilet, you wouldn't have this problem. We're not saying don't do it. Yes, it's permissible. She can have a personal trainer, etc. But we know what difficulty they're going through nowadays when it comes to childbirth. Right? The amount of difficulty. So we took that out. When they came to bathrooms also, here, they say the highest level of haya, the highest level of haya and modesty is to feel shy for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in privacy also. Not just to be unclothed. To be in a secluded space when I'm having a bath also. To be absolutely secluded. Before it was common, we had, what glass is called? Frosted glass. Frosted glass, because that was sharam. That even within the bathrooms also, the glass was frosted. So that was the level of sharam the old people had. Hazratis also, maybe our grannies, great grannies, aunties, didn't have parda on. But when the men came in, automatically they put their hand like that. They felt shy. Or they put the dopatta. You know, the men are here. Now, even the woman in parda, hijab, with that also, now they feel like a license, now I can go from the wall of men. I can go from the wall of men, I got my hijab on. Hijab is not only now the covering. Your voice too is parda. Your character too is parda, not to come front of the men. Now they took that to be a license that I'm wearing the parda, so that I can go front of the men. No, it's not hijab. Sharia, we have to understand what is Sharia, complete hijab. And as I'm saying now, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signed for our own safety. For our own safety. For our own protection. And the laws of hijab and parda, according to the principle of Sharia, become more stringent, become more strict when the fitnas become more. When the fitnas increase, then the paradas of hijab automatically become more strict. When it comes to the brother-in-law, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Alhamu al-maut. The brother-in-law is death. It's such a heavy hadith. The brother-in-law is death. There's no way, no way, no way whatsoever that my wife can be sitting with my brother. Or my brother-in-law, that they are sitting together, everyone and eating. There's no way. Is that allowed whatsoever? The Hadith Sharif is so heavy, the brother-in-law is dead. It will kill your nikah. And if not, you're still in nikah, we don't understand the impact on the lady sometimes. When Yusufatil Sahib Rahimahullah discusses so many times, where women wrote to him, Morana, I'm intimate with my husband, but I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of somebody else. My heart is gone there. My heart is gone to another man. The only man she should know is the husband. Only know his charm, only know his physique, only know his handsomeness. Eid day now, everyone, as you say in Joburg, everyone is kakit. All are dressed up. Right? Now you're a simpleton. Brother-in-law will come with the Emirati style. She says, hey, see how smart he is. I saw this on TikTok. And my husband now go no style. And she might tell you also, why don't you wear your imamah like this? Wear your turban like that. So you already caught her eyes. You already caught her eyes. And once now, if something she knows about is going to catch her eyes, something else is going to catch her eyes also. And something else also. Now you came with your khanka topi, the twin towers. You say, now what is this now? You say, no, you just feel comfortable with it. It's about airy. He says, now you're wearing this, and the brother-in-law is wearing something else. Now that attracted her. There was no need for her to even see that. For no need for her to see it. Leave seeing it now, this hugging, this kissing, how you've been, and all these things over here. Absolutely impermissible. Hazrat says, we as men, we are afraid to implement it in the house. We as men, in the business with the boss, in the home, we can't say, but we want it separate. We buy another table. Dasturkhan is a sunnah. But we have to buy another table, put the men in the garage. We are very comfortable. We can sit there, we can eat, we can talk. Your ladies are free. You are free, you can eat how you want, sit how you want, no problem. You don't have space in the house, alright, we'll eat first. When we go for namaz, then the ladies can eat. Everybody is free. When you tell the ladies and the brothers this, that keep it separate, what's the first excuse? We don't have enough dishing bowls. We don't have enough dishing bowls for the men and men for the ladies. So we're keeping everybody together. So the men go buy extra dishing bowls. No problem. We'll have it separate. And don't fear, nothing will happen. You won't break the family. You'll make the family. On that day, little bit you feel, they'll say, hey, give it one, two times, it's separate. The ladies will say, you know, such a relief, man. We can relax, we can talk, we can shout, we can laugh. And you men are there, you'll just sit over there. Please don't come over here. Just try it, my dear brothers, and you see the amount of relief the ladies will have. And how are we making Sharia compliant? How are we making Sharia compliant? Little bit, we're tweaking it now. We say, no more. What is happening to Louis? You see, I'm sitting here with my wife, and then I put my brother-in-law on this side. So you can't see my wife on this side. We're all sitting in one row. So like this now, we're keeping Sharia compliant. That's permissible. We can't do it like that. The ladies are going to talk. They're going to move their hands sometime. He's going to see the color of her skin. He's not allowed to see the color of her skin also. Then even that is impermissible. Now, we know the amount of rings she's wearing, the bracelet she's wearing. Alright? And he's a diamond merchant. Already now he's seeing, oh, okay, how much a hand is worth. So, everything is gone. What's supposed to be for you? For the husband, he's enjoying. Understand, what is ghairat? Ghairat is a word we use. Ghairat is a word we use in Sharia. What is ghairat? Every man should have ghairat. Every woman should have ghairat. This now has gone out of our vocab. Out of the Muslim dictionary. Ghairat is such a valuable, valuable asset for a man. This quality of ghairat will prevent a man from allowing any man to look at his wife. Ghairat. Now where our ghairat is gone, there's no translation for ghairat in English actually. Alright? Ulama try to translate it. A high sense, perception of sensitivity. What sensitivity? Ulama explain that ghairat is something that is exclusive for you only. Something which is exclusive for you only. You have sole rights over it. For someone else now to have a share and to take some part of that. I won't allow it. This is mine. How can you? For example, your daughter. Allah Ta'ala has made within the home that you can see her, you can see her hair, you can see her hands, you can see her feet, etc. That's your daughter. So you know my daughter, I can look at her. Now, you see another young boy staring at your daughter. Now what comes in the heart? Originally now, the man has ghairat, he'll want to kill that guy. How dare you look at my daughter with those type of eyes? That is ghairat. Now when it comes to his wife and his daughters and his mother, the woman in his home, every man should have the level of ghairat. Dare any man look at our women. That has left the men also. For all and sundry is free. We're dressing them up to take them out and other men are ogling at them. Now you see where? Ask ourselves, Allah knows best, that how many other women we looking at? Somebody else's wife, somebody else's daughter, somebody else's auntie. Oh mother, it's happening. You get out to it, you're looking. It's attractive, they came up, they came dressed, so we're looking also. So how many other men are looking at my wife also? How many men are looking at my Now with the heat of all that fitna and all that haram looks, they're going into nikahs and marriages, the boy is being in there, the girl is being in there, no tawbah. And now we're just not clicking. It's just not happening. Why? Already now the heat of fitna and guna and sin is there. That is the spiritual world that controls the physical world. So how should we get things back onto track now? As men, we have to take charge of our homes. We're not saying go now as one warrior in the house. Hazrat like on Jallad. We're going there now with the unsheathed sword. Right, finish now. Oh, with love and muhabbat. They got to understand these concepts also. This is how we are saying that get them connected to some pious lady. Call the apa home. Get the family ladies together. Oh, we'll take you all there. The apa has the facilities there once a week. Go, sit there, you'll have queries, questions, learn your namaz, your taharat. So they're connected to deen also. Otherwise we are going to try, and they're now going to fight back. But as I said, we are the men of the house, we have to implement, we have to understand the seriousness of this. This is serious. If we are not going to take charge of it, what's going to happen to our grandchildren? What's going to happen to our progenies? Right now the fikr and concern. Now, recently Jamal said, how they came back. Or by Sulaiman Patel, he mentioned, ask. Every person ask himself, which family right now is not free? Which family right now is not free of somebody in the family turning away from Islam? Before we never heard it. We got one nephew, or we got one niece, or we got some cousin, that's a Muftisab. No Jummah namaz also. Not even keeping Rosa. We don't know whether he's in the fold of Islam, whether he's become an atheist. The post that he put on Facebook, we don't know now really. Where is he in life? Now, he doesn't keep any contact also. He went to study overseas. Now he's staying there. Or he moved to another place. And now he's living in with another woman. Alright? Every family now, there's some case or the other. Already the rot has set in. Before we never heard this. And the frightening part is, we can't even tell him anything. Or we can't even tell her anything. The parents can't even tell her anything. They've already created a monster. She's earning her own. He's earning his own, independent. Nobody can talk to them. We don't know what to do. Make dua. Send the jamaat there. Sometime we add them to the family group, then they leave the group. Put some posts over there. They feel that we are targeting them, so they left the group. All this is happening within our own families. So this is why we have to take charge. We don't want to regret when we go into the qabr what we left behind, what a legacy we left behind, the whole family mixed up like this. And whoever started this in the qabr, Allah Ta'ala protect us, but we'll have to pay for it. We'll pay for it. Every time they're going to get together and sit as a family, breaking the command of Allah, the head of the family, he's gone into the qabr, he left behind, he got sadqa jariya. This is not sadqa jariya. This is gunai jariya. Such a sin that's continuing in the family. He didn't stop it. He didn't stop this thing. He didn't take charge of the family. So we have to take charge of this thing, especially when it comes to the intermingling. It's a major sin affecting our marriages. It is affecting our marriages. One Mastura lady wrote the time to Mahesh Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Let's say sometimes we feel we safe. We okay, we pass the expiry date, so to say now. We don't feel anything. Alright? But we still have our musti. It's still there. We don't understand the youth. As I said now before, the youth will become baligh by age 14, 15, and they will get married by 19, 20. So the years of fitna are very few. Now they get in baligh quickly, the things they're exposed to. And now we say you can't get married till 25. So the 10, 15 years of his life, the amount of fitna he's getting involved in, is affecting his life for life. So we don't realize, even the girls also, they're getting baligh, and now we're taking them for holidays, they're looking at everything. The temptation is there. Temptation is there. Even we take them for umrah, the men are in ihram. Right, and they mentioned to us also, it's a fitna for us. Now the father doesn't realize. I put the entire family in this fitna. And it was not farz, not even nafil also, for me to take them. Umrah is an ibadat. Is that a holiday? What's an ibadat? They be all in the haram the whole day. You only come to the room just to eat and sleep. That's it. You're just boarding and lodging. You come to eat and sleep back in the haram. Women folk the same thing also. The whole is ibadat. Men come, we feed them, we back to our Quran tilawat. We back to our ibadat. Is it a holiday? We're going to chill out at the haram. Umrah, in fact, our Shaykh al-Hadith will tell us. He says, yeah, fitna, people are going for Umrah now for 1 month, etc. He says, how long Umrah takes? 2 weeks. He said, Umrah takes 3 hours. Umrah is finished, now go home. He said, Kaam karna hai, so do work now. Do work in the ummah. He said, you're going to relax there. You're going to relax there, not in the haram also, in the hotel, in the executive lounge, in the foyer, then in the hotel musalla. We're going to relax there. Alright, we'll have our hookah there, we've got our qahwa there, and kajur, and we can see the haram there. I was there for Umrah. He said, this is Umrah. Yeah? Umrah, you only have boarding and lodging in the room. And then you're back in the haram again. You eat him, you get strength to go back to the haram. You sleep him, you get strength to go back to the haram. He says, now, you're not even making it to the haram. Most of the namaz are read in the hotel musalla. And then we say, no, but the haram is full. The haram is full with those musallis that are staying right at the end of the haram area. I booked my hotel right over here so I can make it to the haram. And they say, I couldn't make it in. So all those people, where they came from? They were staying in the front line. They were staying in the back line. They in the haram. And then they in the front line, I can't make it in the haram. He said, now, is that Umrah there? Is that Umrah? It has become a holiday. Umrah, you will prepare yourself beforehand. Beforehand, we will prepare ourselves for Umrah. We're in our homes, we've got everything checked, done, parda, hijab, women, ladies, girls, everything. They're going to the apa, I'm preparing myself. Now I'm going for Umrah. Now we see the change. The cry right now, as I say, is the pinnacle of A'mal. The pinnacle of A'mal in a person's life is Hajj. Umrah, to go to Baytullah. To go to Baytullah is a height of spirituality. To go to the qabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is a height of spirituality. There's nothing higher than this. There's nothing higher than this. He says, we are going there, but no spirituality. So I ask myself, what's left for me to do in deen for my heart to change? I've done those things already. There's nothing left now. The change isn't coming. Now I'm standing by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and already he knows I'm there, and he gave me already the whole book, Quran Sharif, how to lead my life. Alright? But I'm being totally opposite. But I'm standing there making salat and salam. Salat and salam. My son, I told him in the business, you do 1, 2, and 3. And don't do anything else. He did the opposite. He did the opposite. And now he saw the effect of it. And he comes home now smiling. You're going to smile at him. You're going to shake his hand. You're going to be upset. I told him, don't do it like that. I told him, no place to order. Hold on. We already got now so much of goods coming through. But he still went and did it. How upset you won't be. Nabi of Allah said, I gave everything for you. And you come here now standing in front of me, breaking every command, and now you say, I went to Madina Munawara. We have to prepare ourselves before we go there. It's a whole preparation before we go to Madina Munawara to stand there so we don't give taklif to the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Right now the ummah that is being there, the amount of taklif for the selfies, and with the garb and the garments below the ankles, no sunnat beard. We're going there to show face. I'm speaking realities, my dear brothers. We're going there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is alive. He can see us. We want him to be proud of us. But we're going there causing more taklif to him. And when we're going there also, Allah Ta'ala give us the hidayat. The du'as we're making there are for our dunya. We're making du'a for our dunya. The du'a, you see, that place standing there by the roda and making salat and salam, this is the place of tashkil. Sahaba ikram were dispatched from there with the fikr of deen. I haven't even made that du'a also. I haven't even made one du'a for the ummah at large. That du'a, they say, which is void for du'a for the ummah, that du'a is an incomplete du'a. Every du'a of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was du'a for the ummah. I'm sitting there so long, I'm only making dua for my dunya, myself, my children, my this, my that, my this, my that, my. Where's the ummat? You haven't understood the roda, you haven't understood Madina Munawara. You haven't understood what Umrah is about. And I'm standing there before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the capacity of a private individual. He says, then in reality, your ziyarat and visit to Madina Munawara is incomplete. I'm going in the capacity of being an ummati. Not this one, individual. I'm going there as an ummati. I'm standing there with a gham and fikr and concern for his ummat. Now my visit is welcome. Now you're welcome. Now your heart has mirrored my heart. Now your heart has mirrored the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now come here and raise your hands. Now Nabi of Allah will welcome you. You've come. That one Sahabi came. Sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He made 2 rakat namaz and he makes dua. Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada. Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada. Wala tushrik ma'ana ahada. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was alive. So he made Bedouin. So our duas were like Bedouins also. He said, oh Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on nobody else. So Nabi of Allah said, oh Bedouin, that matter and affair that was so vast, you restricted it. Allah's rahmat is so vast, you restricted the rahmat of Allah. So make dua for everyone. Only for me and for you. So Nabi of Allah now corrected him. Now my dua is the same also. Ya Allah, my this. The masturat godo. Just my children, my this and my... What about the ummah? The children of the ummah are my children also. Everybody that has iman is part of my family. So what is umrah about? Then to go to Baytullah also. Khair, we're going to a different now direction altogether. But khair is coming to mind. So we'll just discuss these few things. So the preparation for umrah and hajj also is the same thing. Now you know the preparation on groups is all just the outer preparation. Outer preparation and the level of anxiety is now. Now 5 days, what are we going to eat? What kind of bag to carry? And they have a whole now timetable and list now. What things to carry, what you must take, how you must take, and how the entire... But the whole spiritual part of it, how much of exercise, when you're going for Hajj, already put the parda on from now. Put it on from now. The preparation has to start from now before you reach there. Before you get there. Now the preparation has to be done. Start already my qaza namaz, start my 5 times salah already. This all the preparation for the Hajj. So when I get there now, spiritually I'm ready. I myself, I know I can't do it on my own. Allah has a system where you can charge your batteries. The programs are there. Ulama ikram are there. We have to go and prepare ourselves. I'm going for Hajj. It's the whole spiritual, the pinnacle of my life, spiritual experience of my life. People are going there. Unfortunately, as it says too, they're going for Hajj. And the whole purpose of Hajj, and Umrah is to fall head over heels in love with Allah, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what I'm going for, to get that love. How we get it? Allah says, take out your clothes, brand names, put on the ihram. Now we have ihram with brand names also. Take it out. Even your fancy shoes is out wearing chambles. Alright, for the masturat also, this simple in ihram right now. No jewelry, no perfume, nothing whatsoever. You can't even use scented soap also. Allah is stripping you of all the things of dunya, bringing you right down ground zero. Now only worry, and also Sahaba Ikram asked Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, who is the most virtuous Haji? Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, the Haji who is disheveled. Doesn't worry about himself. His hair is upside down. Alright? And he's full of dust in his beard. Allah loves the Haji the most. Look at him, he doesn't even care about himself. He's only labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. He's in love with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is real Hajj now. Hazrat says, we're going for Hajj. Person went simple as a Haji. Now she came back with all brand names. He came back with all brand names. And you can see he's carrying all the brand names that he bought from the bazaar and marketplaces of Haramain Sharifain. He said, hey, here's the Haji. You just check, he came from Hajj right now. You can see all the brand names he's wearing and all the jewelry, etc. Came back with the love of brand names. Supposed to come back with the love of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, opposite effect. Because they didn't know what Hajj is about. What I'm supposed to get in the Hajj. So our lives also, you got to take charge of our homes. All these things now, as we mentioned also, they're in the mataf, they're in the roda also. The amount of commands of Allah being broken, we don't feel the pain. We don't feel the pain. Hazrat says that my friend's shop burned down, wholesale burned down. I feel the pain. Ya Allah. Look at this. That we go out to go and console him. Bye, don't worry. Allah make it easy for you. We feel the pain. Person's dunya got lost. Something happened to him. We feel the pain. But he must his fajr namaz. No pain. No concern. Dunya, we feel the pain for our Muslim brothers. But the deen, we don't feel the pain. In the haram right now, in the mataf, making tawaf also, how many commands of Allah are being violated right over there? And I don't feel the pain. At least making tawaf, make dua, ya Allah. Put all these women into hijab. How can it be they're making tawaf here with the faces open? Right by your house, Ya Allah. Right by your house, Ya Allah. They're breaking your command right now. Faces are open, or they're dressed now in an effective manner. You're right here by the house of Allah. And you haven't understood really where you are right now. Where else do you go to get iman? And in this mataf, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, right in sajda, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The closest a person can get to Allah تبارك وتعالى is when he's in sajda. Nabi of Allah is in sajda. The most noble posture a person can be in. Right in sajda. Where? In the mataf. Next to Baytullah. And who? The Rasul of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in sajda, Baytullah, talking to Allah تبارك وتعالى. Kuffar come and they load upon his back the intestines of camel. Throw it upon him. All over him. So he can't get up from there. Allah tolerated death. Allah tolerated, you could see his most beloved, the most beloved posture, the most beloved of places, making qurbani for his ummah to come upon deen. And walking the same mataf and breaking his command. I won't tolerate this with my children also. I won't tolerate this with my children also. What I sacrificed for, will this be by them on ruler? Fancy ruler, I paid 10, 20 rand. And I saw him just break it like that. Oh, how your head doesn't go. How your head doesn't go. You might give him a smack also. Even if it was 10 rand, but you got to teach him a lesson of life. You can't just break it like, Papa, you buy me another one. You buy me another one. No, I won't buy you another one. You need a hiding. But nowadays for the parents is cute. For them, it's cute. So he broke it. Here the command of Allah has been broken. And for us it is nothing. We don't even feel the heat of it, the pain of it. Ya Allah, give all these women hidayat. Let them cover themselves. The amount of fitna, they too banging the men, touching the men. Then the men, Ya Allah, so many of them over here, Ya Allah. So many men, 99% of the men, Ya Allah. They don't have beards. Nabi of Allah, when those two messengers from the Roman Empire more or less came to Medina Munawara, and they walked in upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they had big moustaches and no beard. Nabi of Allah turned his face away. Couldn't even look at them. Couldn't even look at them. He said, take them away from here. What is the problem? He said, I cannot even look at your faces. Big moustaches and no beard. So he asked them, who commanded you with this? He said, our Rabb, meaning the king. He said, well, my Rabb commanded me, Khaliful Mushrikeen, awfiru al-luha wa ahfu al-shawarib. Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they lengthen your beards and remove your moustaches. So he didn't even want to look at them also. Now how much of the ummah are going to the roda? Standing there with no sunnah beard. Having no beard and less in sunnah beard, having no beard and less in the sunnah length beard is equally haram. This is the only sin ulama say, that a person who doesn't have a sunnah beard and he trimmed it below the sunnah length, this is the only sin that a person is in sin 24 hours. Even if sleeping also is in guna and sin. Because his beard is below the wajib amount. This is the only guna ulama have documented that a person is perpetually in guna and sin. Until he makes tawbah, Allah, I'm going to grow it. Once he makes tawbah, then the malaika stop writing guna and sin for him. So he lets it grow already, then he sees the benefit. So how much of the ummah is coming there? Would the garments below the ankles and the beards are trimmed. And they stand there making salat and salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. As I mentioned now, if your son, before you came home, the wife told you, she took a picture, look at what he did. He broke all his pencils, and he broke the ruler also. Alright? And he saw all of this, already you are revving in the car. Besides you, high speed, you are revving inside too. And when I get home, I want to take him. Teach him a lesson of life. Alright? How upset you get. You already broke the ruler, and he broke the pencil. And he's laughing about it. Here, the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salat are being broken. Is that a pencil and a ruler? There I get upset. I get upset as a father because I know what I invested. Here, Nabi of Allah, what he didn't invest for the ummah. His cry wasn't for Fatima. His cry wasn't for Khadija. His cry wasn't for Zainab and Ummu Kulsum and Ruqiyya. Look at the hadith. Did we find any dua? Nabi of Allah is making dua for Fatima or Ruqiyya, Ummu Kulsum. What do we found? My ummah, Ya Allah, my ummah, Ya Allah, my ummah, Ya Allah, my ummah. 6 hours of dua more or less in Hajjatul Wada and Arafat. 6 hours dua. Sahaba Ikram said, because he Nabi of Allah, raising his hands for 6 hours in the heat, until he raised it so high you can see the whiteness of his armpits also. Ya Allah, forgive the oppressor of my ummah. Forgive the oppressor also. Ya Allah, forgive the qatil and the murderer also. Ya Allah, please forgive him also. Then wahi came down, O Nabi of Allah, we forgive the oppressor. We forgive the oppressor. Hatta dima. Ya Allah, what about the one who spilled blood? No. Parashan came to Muzdalifa. Oh, night starts again. Oh, Allah, forgive the murderer also. Please, Allah, forgive. Finally, it came down. Forgiven also. He didn't make dua for his own family people. You see, 6 hours of dua only for the ummah and the ummah and the ummah. Now, the ummah is going to Madinah Munawwara, but discarding all his sunnahs. And what I say, I went for Umrah. Go there and please him at least. Make him happy. That's how we make dua. O Nabi of Allah, in dunya we made you run. We made you run from where? From Makkah Mukarramah you had to run. You had to come to Madinah Munawwara. Three nights in the cave. You can imagine the fear at the time. When the riots were happening, we were prisoners and we were trembling in our own homes. Right? When you heard the zillow, then they're coming here, they're coming there. Then we're hearing the bullets flying around. We don't know where they are, outside the house, outside the building. What's going to happen next? Here the mushrikeen are right there by the mouth of the cave. We can imagine the fear. Allah has sent wahi down, la tahzan. O Nabi of Allah, don't fear. Inna Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. There you have to run. Then from there run to Madinah Munawwara. The Suraqah bin Malik is on your heels, about to catch you. He wanted the 100 camels reward. They come to Madinah Munawwara. Makkah Mukarramah, the enemy will open, the mushrikeen. Come to Madinah Munawwara, we have internal enemy. Two of them. We have the hypocrites sitting in the majlis. And we have the Jews waiting for us outside. Eid day, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will take one route to the Eidgah, different route return. Why? Allah gave about 11 wisdoms why he took two different routes. One major reason was that if any of these Jews are plotting on this route, so he'll foil the plot, will come another route. Come that way. Even India also had to consider all of that. Go this route and come back a different route. They made his sunnah. So all of that he went through. Then run to Badr, then run to Uhud, then run to Khandaq, then run here, run there. So they say, go to the Rosa Mubarak, say to Nabi of Allah, Nabi of Allah, dunya, we made you run enough for us. We made you cry enough for us in dunya. O Nabi of Allah, make it such qiyamah the day we don't cause you to run again. Should I run because of me? O Nabi Allah, I'll come nicely to you. You don't have to come looking for me, I'll come looking for you. So here we made him run, then also we want to make him run. Here in dunya, children make us run, and how the staff make us run. And how we discipline them. Here we still welcome to the Rawda, come again. But come nicely. So there's few things we're going to take charge, especially in our situation over here right now, when it comes to our homes. With the Stazia thing also, when we take in the ladies in the Mustawarat, there's no parda hijab, the men are standing there, and then my uncle-in-law, there at this thing, how? You see now your wife is coming, this is her Kala's husband, auntie's husband. Now he was becoming salam with her. But she's not your ben. Kim Cho ben, when are you keeping house everything? Janaza house. Now she will smile at him. But my Kala's husband, if your Kala has to pass away, he can marry you still. That's a masala. Alright, if your husband passed away, and the auntie passed away, you both can get married. And he knows the masala also very well. Alright, he knows the masala very well also. So there's no making salam there. We have to also realize this also. This is now my nephew's wife. My nephew's wife. Now, I want to go chat with her and speak to her. You can't talk to her. Your nephew is your nephew. His wife is his wife. If tomorrow the nephew is not there, then you can marry this girl also. The Sharia has put all this into place. But we take it to be now that it's free for all. And then the auntie will say, no, but I can speak to him. I change his diapers also. When he's a small boy. They don't realize, we're going to say this, my dear brothers, that auntie now, she's maybe 45, 50, but she's not old. She's still young. The boy, how old is? 17, 18. Alright? He's already a baligh. And the aunties don't realize this now, I have to mention these things. She's not young either, and the boy is baligh already. She said, I have to change, come here, bachu. I have to change your diapers and all. She's giving him a big hug. Boy said, I don't know how to put my face. Something happened inside to me. Muftisab, he said, right. One youngster wrote to me, They must say, "Sabu, I'm the dumb Bali boy. I need to get married." Even my nanny also. Sometimes she touches my shoulder here, and then something happens to me inside. See the website Mufti Online, Mufti Salaji's website. One young sir writes to Mufti Sahab, "Mufti Sahab, I can't come out from the bedroom in my own house. Why? What's wrong?" He says, "My sisters and mother, they're dressed very, very, what do you say, immodestly. Loose top sometime, not wearing undergarment. Now I go out." He says, "I can't leave the room also. I can't leave the room because I have a problem. I have a problem. Because they're dressed like this, I leave the room and then I can't control myself. And then sometimes, now within the home also, although we're staying in a house, but then when I leave the house, I got a tent. Understand now? I got a one-pole tent." He says, "When I leave the house, the room, so I can't leave the room also. My own mother and sisters. And then I'm tempted now to go to the phone. Why is it happening? We might not feel it because we're old. But the youngsters, the fitna we're putting them through is a major problem. And who are their own mothers, their own sisters, their own aunties? So therefore we have to take charge of the situation. The boys are not now like how we were 15 sibling marbles in the back of the masjid. They're not playing marbles anymore. They know everything nowadays. They've been exposed and they know everything. Now we had cases also. Even amongst the girls in the madaris also. Where they're carrying cell phones and exposing the younger girls to things. The young girl got a clean, pure mind. It just takes one elderly girl to smuggle a phone into the madrasa, into the school, during the break time, call the younger girls, call the younger boys, "Hey, come check here." The boy's mind was clean. Girl's mind was clean. Ask ourselves to how we got exposed. Somebody showed us. Or somehow, from here to there, and it's happening. And when they come home, now they look at the mother differently. Looking at the sisters differently. Looking at the aunties differently. And we don't realize it. So this has become a major fitna right now. We want happiness in our marriages, our children, our grandchildren. We have to close all the avenues and don't be afraid. We are scared, I don't know for what. There will be no more fun. Biggest fitna is the screen, we know that. TV in the home, we don't need the TV in the home. We don't need it. Get it out of the house. We don't need the TVs in the house. For us to spend, to pass our time, we don't need the TVs. Let us be at home to be there for our wives. Why they want the TVs? Because we're not at home. They tell us to see, "You're not here. You're going to play paddle tennis. Or paddle tennis, whatever it may be." So, I got my series. I got this, I got that. And once she's hooked onto it now, once she's hooked onto it, we heard of reports also. Where they're so hooked onto the series, the ladies now, is the last day of Shaaban. We're looking for the moon after Maghrib. She said, "Hold on, it's afternoon now, I don't have any time, I want to finish my series before Maghrib. Before they sight the moon, I just got to finish my last one. In case Ramadan starts tonight, then I can't finish it." What do you go to your husband for then? Why you go to your wife then? What's the need for the TV? One youngster got married also, bichara. He got married. He got married, he got a new bride in the house. He comes home after maybe a month or two, and he's in a very good mood. He walks to the house, wife is waiting for him, she's all dolled up for him. But his mind is on a different vibe. He came in the house and he's got one little cage in his hand, smiling away. I said, "What is this?" He said, "I always wanted a cat. My mother never allowed me." Father-in-law said, "Bhai, I'll give you my daughter to play with. You go in and bought one cat." He bought the cat and he likes football. He likes ball. He told his wife, "And then I come sit with me, watch some ball." "I'm tired now." He said, "No, come." So she went to sit with him, but he put the cat between us. He said, "Now what kind this is now? Newlywed. Marriage never worked out after that." He got his cat over there. When his Patel Sahib Rahimullah gives this example so many times, where the lady wrote to him, "Maulana, my husband likes football. I got no interest in it. He likes football, he likes cricket. He likes football, he likes cricket." Many men say, "Mufti Sahib, only got the TV there for the news." "Why not for the news? For the presenter. For the presenter. You want to listen to the news? We send it to you, no problem. We send you the articles. You don't have to see the news. You've seen the lady is haram. Listen to her is haram. Alright? There was a news item. It just becomes a news item. How much dua you made? Really what it is about? You just become an analyst. You heard it, now you give your own report on it. The lady wrote to my Inspector Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Husband forces me. Come and sit. Let's see the cricket together. He said, "Well, I saw the cricket. I sit with him. I see the cricket with him. But you see the effect on me. When I see those men, they're muscular, they're well built. How they run on the field, how they bowl, they're so agile. and they saw foot, and my man knows out of shape. They say, Mana, I caught my heart. The certain player, his charisma, the way he runs, the way he feels, the way he bats, and how they're thrown up in public eye, they say, I fell in love with you. To the extent, unfortunately, they say, when we're intimate in bed also, I think about the cricket player. But I can't tell my husband that. And Hadith Sharif says that is tantamount to zina, where you engage with your wife in intimacy and you're thinking of somebody else, or she's thinking of somebody else, instead of getting reward and sawab, you are getting the sin of fornication, adultery. To that extent, the ummah is gone. But we as men, we're not realizing these things. It is happening right now. It is happening. So that's why we have to take charge. And some parents, alhamdulillah, their minds are opening up. We cancel the Wi-Fi. We cancel the Wi-Fi. The child doesn't need a cell phone. The girl only needs a cell phone when she gets married. But now who's going to take the cell phone away? There'll be a war at one. Imagine now, we're scared to even take these things away from our children. We're scared what will be their reaction. As fathers, we are afraid of them. In our days now, you get one smack from the old man. Finished. You're just going to stand straight. Stand straight and carry on walking. Carry on, don't even look back. Nowadays, we're afraid. And the boy will stand his ground, the girl will stand her ground. She throw tantrums. Sometimes they threaten us also. Threaten the parents also. Before it was never like that. Before you get one smack, then carry on walking, carry on smiling. Nothing happened. And tomorrow you're back at work. And alhamdulillah, we had some values. We understood it was right. Nowadays, what they'll tell their friends about the old man, what titles they'll give the old man also, what names they'll give him also, right? And how they'll find a way to get another cell phone. How they get away now to jeopardize the entire system. One youngster came to me, right, not doing his work. I said, but what are you doing at night then? Father cancelled the Wi-Fi, took away the cell phone, gave him one iPod or something like that, with no SIM card, no Wi-Fi, nothing. Just play some games a little bit. Right, but you can see, boy not sleeping at night. What happened? You got no access to Wi-Fi, so now got access to it. But there's no Wi-Fi in the house. He says, no, but I made a plan. How you made a plan? Say, my mother's phone, I made it a hotspot. Then my mother's phone a hotspot, so I'm in the room next door, I just connect up. But they're sleeping, boy is sleeping, mashallah. Got no Wi-Fi, nothing. Doesn't realize he made his mother's phone a Wi-Fi. Made it a hotspot. So they're so intelligent. But we exposed them. So we've got to take charge of all this, my dear brothers. We're worried about our generations. What's going to happen to them? They're going to get married. What are they going to do with their wives? Now they're sitting on the cell phone. She's sitting on the cell phone. She said, don't look at my screen. He said, don't look at my screen. What kind of marriage is that now? What kind of marriage is that now? That's why they say, that where he's getting garam, where she's getting garam, where he's getting hot, and where he's floating. It's haram. You're looking at haram screen over there, and using his halal wife. So no more enjoyment in the halal way also. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding as parents, where we're going to now take charge of our homes, our families, our children, then we see the barakat in our homes. Then we see the barakat in our taqwa. Then we see the barakat in the umrah, etc., etc. So when it comes to ta'zit and it comes to going to the house of this thing, we just do the second point. When a woman goes to the house for condolence, she should ensure that she wears the dullest of outer cloaks. The dullest of outer cloaks. The reality, we have to say it, my dear brothers, nowadays the masturat has special abayas and cloaks only for janazah time. And dressed up for janazah. Dressed up for janazah. Unbecoming. Now is the time to think of the qabr and our coffin. A loose fitting, simple, unadorned burqa over the cloak could be most appropriate. We came for janazah, we go to the janazah house. We know we do see now what that one is wearing, what this one is wearing. The janazah lady is here, she just passed away, she got a coffin on. I should be thinking, Ya Allah, what about my coffin? Tomorrow can be my janazah. One sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, I know janazah was passing. So somebody asked the sahabi, whose janazah it is? He said, your janazah. He got upset. He said, if you're upset, my janazah. He said, what do you mean? He said, that's the time to know whose janazah. The time to prepare for your janazah. Now we're more worried, hey, how he passed away? Who was at the hospital? Or the ladies will go. Somehow they prank that lady. Now, okay, you were there at the hospital. And then, what happened after that? And who else was there? What he said last? I went, oh, sorry, take it back home. But she's worried, she's crying. You should go about your qabr. And now we want to know also who was there and how was the whole thing, who started crying, and who gave him the shahadat kalima, and he drank zamzam, all the detail you want after that. This is the time to know all that. The time is for me to ponder. Tomorrow, tonight could be my janazah over here. There's the last thing on my mind. The whole thing is about preparing for my own janazah. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and to bring complete Sharia and Deen in all our departments of Deen. Now we are in i'tikaf, my dear brothers, as I mentioned, go and make notes of this. Go write it down. Open a group with the wife. That, you know what, we've got to take care of these things over here. She might now give you a bit of an uphill. But see now, you know, do all these things over here. This and that. She says, no, we're going to try. Make the niyat. First of all, the first step is make the niyat. I'm not saying now I'm going to come home in day and come with a big axe, 10-pound hammer, and break the dining room table. Right? Although I'd like to do that, but I'm not going to do that because it costs me a lot. Right? So the least we can do is cut the legs and put it on the floor. Alright, we'll contact Casa Interiors, the managers and the staff, cut the legs out, alright, discount the price, either discount, and we can put it on the floor, at least we start from there. So we've got a nice table, we can sit on the floor, no problem. So let's make niyat, me and you as a wife, which way we're taking this family of ours. We've got our children, grandchildren, daughter-in-laws, son-in-laws, we've got our nephews, nieces, my brother, your sister, everybody is there. Let's you and I at least start it from somewhere. So at least we get on the same page. Alright? That is not going to be easy, but we can help one another. We're doing this for our own qabr. If you really love me, you're going to be with me in Jannat. You're going to be with me in Jannat. I want to be with you. Although some women ask him, Muttisam, in Jannat, now I'm married to this man. Do I have to be with him in Jannat? Is there any other way out? Do I have to be with him? Right? Women are asking already before that. Then I'm stuck with this man now forever. What's the story? Right? So open the group. Don't be fearful. And put, see these things over here. I'm finding a weakness in myself. I've only been making it these things, right? Let's start discussing these certain points. Only the normal chat we have with the wife, we have the normal chat with her. Open a group for this only. Just you and her, especially we discuss these masail. Right? Whether my namaz, your namaz. Weekly now I'm going to go for the programs. Settling her from now. Weekly, I'm taking out now. I'm going to start going for the programs. She will remind you on the group after that. You said you're going for the program. Now where you went tonight? No, I just have to go for an appointment. No, that doesn't work. You want me to go to madrasa? Right? You arrange somebody for us to go. Or I took the initiative and I arranged. Right? Well, now you're not going. So she's going to give you one dhaka also. Right? That you said you're going to do all of this, but now you're going that way. But you want me to go this way. So you both move the same way. So what happens now? We're also falling in the system. Otherwise what will happen, we don't discuss with the wife, so we're not committed. So when it comes to Thursday night, the guest night, Majlis night, hey, you know what, tonight we'll just go somewhere else. Boys are waiting, we'll just go for a game quickly. But if you committed with the wife and told her, see, this is going to be my tertib now, then she will remind you. She will remind you, you said you're going to go, and you're going to take the boys also. Now they're sitting at home all on the cell phone, and you go on to have coffee, or you're going for some appointment, or you to pick up a parcel, and the night is gone. Now you already made a promise that time that you're going to do this, and because of that I said I'm going to do this. But this is how you're going to commit to the wife, that this will be my weekly activity, this is what I'm going to do, make dua for me, I'm making intention. Whether I'm going to go 40 days jamaat, 3 days jamaat, 3 days again for years, alhamdulillah. Now you've got to pick up the mark now, go to the next bracket. Go to the next bracket, you've got to join the next bracket of satis now. So all this niyat, now in the month of Ramadan, last few nights, you're going to make these intentions. Once you make the intention, Hadith Sharif says, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that all in a'mal are based upon the intentions. Whatever intention you make, Allah will give it to you. But you're scared to make the intention. That's the first block shaitan will put. Don't make niyat. Hold on. It will happen. We know it won't happen. We know it won't happen. I'm going to make the intention. Tell the wife, these are my intentions for the week now. This inshallah, this is what I want to do. Going ahead. Cut out time there and put time over here. Now we're going to think about our qabr. You also, alhamdulillah, if I want to do it, it'd be so nice if you do like this. I'm going to go for my tajweed class. Also study your tajweed. Right? Who are you comfortable with? Which apa you know? Go find out who is available. What? Right? Come, let's get it done. Not only you. You got your sister. You got your auntie. You got your cousin. You got your niece. Now get them all together. Alright, Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, whatever time the apa is available, whether you'll need to go, then we'll arrange it, or she can come over here. So our house becomes the markaz of deen. Our house becomes the markaz of deen. For the family, it becomes the markaz of deen. And my brothers, you will do such a favor to your ladies at home. They all will be connected now to deen. Then you don't have to tell them anything. You don't have to tell them anything. Do this or do that. Then the style how to operate it. Is it connected now to a certain apa? You connect now to the Marana. Marana, this and apa, just put it to the ladies like this. Like how we say, Marana, just say this in the bayan, but don't say, I said it. So it will go to the ladies. So we work the other way around also. So we tell the apa also, so when you're tackling the ladies, just touch on these issues over here. Then very passively, our work gets done also. With muhabbat and with love. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq understanding, inshaAllah. SubhanAllah. نستغفر الله تعالى